You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2 p.m., our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews, and culture pieces from across Aotearoa Dunedin.
That's right, you're tuned into the R1 News at 1, and it is Tuesday, the 20th of August. I'm solo hosting the show today. I'm your news producer, Jemima. Unfortunately, Isla is busy with, you know, all the changing arounds that come with, I guess, this part of the year when you're looking at flats and stuff. So I'm just solo taking you through the news for today. So it's going to be a nice, short, sweet show as well. I've got your bulletin for you right now.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Tuesday, 20th of August. I'm Jemima. In national news, Koronehana is underway and Prime Minister Christopher Luxon and New Zealand First MP Shane Jones have publicly announced they will not support ACT leader David Seymour's Treaty Principles Bill, RNZ reports. The Koronehana, the annual week-long celebration of the coronation of the Māori King Tuheitia, began last Friday at Turangawaewae Marae. Yesterday marked the most political day of Koronehana with Kingitanga, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon, opposition leader Chris Hipkins, and more representatives from both National and Labour as well as New Zealand First, Te Pāti Māori, and the Green Party speaking. The ACT Party did not attend, with conflicting reports around whether invitation was extended to the party. Organisers of the event say invitations were sent to Seymour for Monday's and Wednesday's events, like all other political parties. ACT declined the invitation to attend on Wednesday and Koronehana altogether, but it was left unclear whether they received an invitation to yesterday's event. Both Christopher Luxon and Shane Jones, speaking from the Pai Pai, explicitly stated their parties will not support ACT's Treaty Principles Bill past its first reading in Parliament. Speaking in response to RNZ, David Seymour said his coalition partners had jumped the gun. He also said he remained hopeful he could sway their decision after drafting and public reaction. Luxon confirmed that the bill would progress through to select committee before being voted down. Of this, Chloe Swarbrick, speaking on behalf of the Green Party, said National and New Zealand First could do more than voting down the bill once it reaches its first reading, and that allowing the bill to go through to select committee will open the door to more race baiting and division. Other topics of conversation at Koronehana include the repeal of Section 7AA from the Oranga Tamariki Act, the change of legislation on Māori wards and gang patch legislation. Speaking for Kingitanga, Rahui Papa called for collaboration, applauded the politicians who'd come to Koronehana for the difficult discussions, and called on the Prime Minister to, quote, get rid of all the Māori bashing, racist bills and policies. In New Zealand, migrant workers are being found to be exploited through a visa scheme. Te Kahui Tika Tangata, New Zealand Human Rights Commission, yesterday released a human rights review of the Accredited Employer Work Visa scheme. The scheme is supposed to provide economic opportunities for migrant workers in Aotearoa. Since 2022, the scheme has offered a temporary work visa on the condition that workers are tied to a specific accredited employer. However, in the most recent review, the Commission is raising concerns about human rights abuses that are affecting temporary migrant workers in the AEWV scheme. Workers have told the Commission about being charged tens of thousands of dollars for fake jobs, not receiving their wages and or wage records, living in poverty and sliding into the informal economy where they are exploited with little pay or long hours, living in crowded, unhealthy, unsafe housing or campgrounds, being verbally or physically assaulted, and their concerns for potential human trafficking and coordinate profiting from these human rights breaches. The review proposes changes to the current AEWV scheme that focuses on the proper implementation of Te Tiriti o Waitangi and human rights, disconnecting the visa from single accredited employers so workers have the capacity to change employers, enforce ethical recruitment standards and more scrutiny to accredited employers, and creating better support systems for those that are experiencing human rights risks and violations. The review also takes time to consider current legislation around current human trafficking laws in New Zealand. While it is criminalised, Aotearoa does not have any modern slavery legislation. In the country's 2024 Universal Periodic Review, the UK, US and Mexico do more to address modern slavery. The Commission also recommends New Zealand implements human trafficking legislation and becomes a party to the International Convention on the Protection of the Rights of All Migrant Workers and Members of Their Families. More than 2,400 ambulance officers will be going on strike on the 20th and 24th of August. Members of the First Union and the New Zealand Ambulance Association have expressed grievances towards the failure of Hato Hone St John to offer a pay rise along with the government's inability to engage in action. Since the start of this year, St John has been bargaining with the unions. Last year in November, the Ambulance Operations Multi-Union Collective Agreement had expired with a bargaining following agreement. In addition, St John is working with purchasers, Health New Zealand and ACC to secure additional funding. Deputy Chief Executive of Ambulance Operations for St John, Dan Oz, says St John supports pay rises for ambulance workers' workplaces, however, claims that the amount that unions pay is greater than the available funding. So far, two separate offers were proposed by St John, but both were passed. Despite these strikes, St John has put plans in place to ensure that life-threatening emergencies will still be attended to. Mr Oz emphasises that patient safety is their main focus. If you have a medical emergency, you should call 111 as normal. In international news, Chinese and Philippines Coast Guard's ships collided at sea, damaging at least two vessels early yesterday. The collision occurred in an atoll in the Spratly Islands, an area where Vietnam and Taiwan have also claimed. China spokesperson Gan Yu claims that the Philippines side is entirely responsible for the collision and encourages the Philippines to stop infringing on their territory with the threat of consequences. Speaking for China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Mao Ning also blames the Philippines for the incident, claiming that the vessels deliberately collided into Chinese Coast Guard vessels that were carrying out law enforcement operations in a dangerous manner. Assistant Director General of the Philippine Government's National Security Council, Jonathan Malaya, accused the Chinese Coast Guard of falsely claiming the collision was initiated by the Philippines. Malaya also claims that there are recordings and videos showing the Chinese ships causing the collisions. However, The Guardian claims that there is footage where a Philippine vessel is colliding with the left side of a Chinese ship before moving on. In addition, they also mention the existence of another clip that shows a Chinese vessel making contact with the rear of the Philippine ship. There have been no reported injuries. This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Tuesday, 20th of August. Today's bulletin was written by Jemima Lorimer and Isla Taring and read to you by Jemima Lorimer.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news.
That's right. As I was saying before, this is just a super short show, so I'm going to be back with the weather for you in just a moment. Unfortunately, there will be no STEM segment today, as well as no sports sweep, just due to busyness and sickness, because that's what it's like being in uni. But I'm wishing both, you know, contributors to the show, Isla Taring and Sam Somerville, just good recoveries or all that jazz. But first up for you, this is the Ruby Suns with Michini Mayoi Mashita.
The R1 News at 1 weather forecast.
The weather is... the sun's out. Oh my gosh, I can't even get the temperature up right now. You know, when your technology just completely betrays you, all I can say is it's actually warm enough to go outside and have a wee sit, although the wind is starting to pick up, so you'd better get out there fast and make the most of getting a tiny little bit of sunshine. The temperature is 11 degrees, and it is just going to continue being partly cloudy for today, and tomorrow the weather's going to be somewhat similar.
The R1 News at 1 weather forecast.
Thank you so much for tuning into this super brief R1 News show for Tuesday the 20th of August. I have been your news producer, Jemima Lorimer. And honestly, it's kind of nice that it's a nice short show because I'm going to be heading off to film festival. And I just thought on that note, there has been a really great movie I've been to see. It is called Never Look Away, a documentary on a camera woman named Margaret Moth, who was just absolutely incredible. She primarily worked in war zones, and she would do anything to get the shot that she needed, which just meant putting her own body in harm's way to get these really raw stories. So she did most of her work. She started in the 90s and went on for the next 16 years. And I just really recommend going out and seeing that documentary. I just think it really shows how raw journalism can be, how exciting it can be, and how important it is that there are people on the ground relaying these stories from, you know, these war zones and such. But yes, get out and watch some films for New Zealand International Film Fest. That wraps up the news for today. Thanks for tuning in. After the wee break, you'll be hearing Blair Parks and Cardigan Bay with Lost Direction, and keep it locked to the to Radio 1.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1, here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily wherever you get your podcasts, or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings.
And you, all the colours. And you.
That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.